Crumble Barns because I need a CRM specifically for the real estate company. So I built it myself, and that was in my lab. And then I have some friends that are running businesses here in my area. They have 30, 35 employees, different kind of business. And they told me, look, I pay you if you come to my company and you make that in Trello, because we are using Trello already for different projects. And I did. And at that point, I say, well, I have something which is working pretty good on lab, or something that I can manage and I can run through.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle to Freedom podcast. As you know, I try to bring you guys awesome guests that you might not have heard on all the other big entrepreneur podcasts. I want to talk to people who are either actively building a side hustle, making money while still working a day job, or they have taken that idea and that side hustle and turned it into their main thing. The main thing that puts food on the table. So today I am sitting down with an awesome guest, Tony. How do you say your last name, Tony? I should have asked this before, but the listeners know I'm horrible with names. Yeah. So I'm not too embarrassed.
It's not going to sound familiar to your audience, maybe, because it's a Spanish one. It's Panea.
Panea. Panea.
Yes.
Cool. So I'll just call you Tony. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, perfect.
So awesome, Tony. So I just mentioned there that I talked to two type of people. People that are side hustling currently, people that have turned that into their main gig. Which one of those are you?
I think that's my main everything, I will say. Now it's my whole life. My family.
Gotcha. And this, you took this idea, which we will get into, and you turned that into your main thing right now.
Exactly.
But before we do that, let's back up just a tad. What were you doing before you got into this kind of world of side hustles and side businesses?
Well, I did many different things. My background, it's an industrial engineer. So I was almost like related with engineering companies for like 10 years, but in my last three years, I was managing a real estate company. Mm-hmm. Because my family, the family of my wife, they are related with realtors. So they told me, well, we want to start this new brand, and we need someone we can trust to build and that has experience as managing teams and all this stuff. And then I started this project, and it was amazing because of doing that, now I'm doing Crumble. Yeah,
that's awesome. And you know, so we'll get into what Crumble is. Actually, it's probably good to give a high level overview of it right now, because the comment I'm about to make is I see on behind you in the background, so
yeah,
you won't be able to see this, but I just realized the wordplay that you have going on. So your software, which we'll get into, is in a sense a CRM that lives on top of Trello.
Exactly.
And it's called Crumble, but the first letters are CRM. And I just picked that up by seeing that on the background behind you. So nice wordplay. With that said, let's get a high level overview of what Crumble is. I do want to go into like how you got into that idea and how you built it out, but let's preface with what exactly it is and how it helps people.
Okay. Then Crumble, it's a power app. Power app mainly, it's like an add-on or a plugin. But normally, add-ons and plugins are giving like specific functionalities. But I found a gap in Trello regarding how to contact, how to manage the contacts you have in your company. So what Crumble is doing with the power app, it turns a Trello board, which is a collaborative tool, in another whole dimension, which means to handle all the contacts of your company, not only the leads as a CRM itself, but also hiring and recruiting processes, supplier processes, contact ticketing support, everything that is related with talking with someone in your company, a client or a provider, it could manage with Crumble. This is what we are doing.
Yeah. That's awesome. So essentially you've built like, would you call it a SaaS company?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Exactly. So you built a SaaS company and you told me you are an industrial engineer by yeah, learning, and went into managing a team in real estate.
Yeah.
So neither of those, directly make me think that you are a developer by skill set. So tell us how did you build Crumble? Like, I want to get into how you come up with the idea, but I'm really curious now, like, how did you like start to bring this to life? Cause I think, like, myself included, you know, over the years, I've had a bazillion ideas for what would be an awesome SaaS company, but you've went the extra mile and you've actually brought it to life. So, like, how did you do that knowing you don't have a background in tech?
Yeah. Actually, I really study a lot of programming, of developing languages. I started to learn in my degree here in Spain, when you are making industrial engineering, some of the signatures you are covering are related with different engineering, like, for example, IT. So I started to write code on C++ many years ago, like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I jumped to JavaScript. And I started to be Crumble because of Google Scripts in Google Sheets. This is how everything started, when I started to connect different apps through a bit of code and also APIs technology. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And So you did have some background in coding.
Yeah, and I love it. Yeah.
Were you the mastermind, the architect behind actually, like, A to Z building this thing out?
I am behind the what I have in my lab. I mean, Crumble borns because I need a CRM specifically for the real estate company. So I built it myself, and that was in my lab. And then I have some friends that are running businesses here in my area. They have 30, 35 employees, different kind of business. And they told me, look, I pay you if you come to my company and you make that in Trello, because we are using Trello already for different projects. And I did. And at that point, I say, well, I have something which is working pretty good on lab, or something that I can manage and I can run through. But if I want to launch to the world, I need a high level of performance and a different structure which can support thousands of users per day. So I contact Christina, which is my CTO, and we were friends we are almost family. And then she told me, wow, it's a great idea. And she was building one of the greatest CRM here in Spain, for a company which is also in real estate. And she told me, well, I think we can do that. And she put together a team and we started.
That's awesome. So, yeah. I mean, the space that you're in is really competitive, right? Mm-hmm. It may be not in as in a Trello plugin, but just the CRM space in general is very competitive. I mean, those listeners that aren't super familiar with the word CRM, right? Customer relationship management tool, maybe some people call it client relationship management, but essentially it manages all of clients' conversations, all that whole workflow, like you described earlier. Some Salesforce is one of the really big ones in the space, and there's a whole lot of others. How did you, like, when you guys, you know, you brought her on as the CTO, and you guys both thought this was worth, you know, really investing a lot of your time in. Like, how are you confident that you could differentiate yourself in the market, knowing that there's a lot of other CRMs out there?
Yeah. As per my experience, and also the experience of the CTO, we detect that in the companies, even with people that has a certain level of education, when they are facing a CRM, I don't want to say now names, but you have a lot of different names in the market of CRMs that you started, and you have even a section that says contact with a technical guy which can support your company to manage and to make the configuration of everything. And I think the learning curve for make the installation in your company in order to suit your needs, and also the learning curve of your users, I mean, of your sales team, of hiring a recruiting team, I think the learning curve is really high. Nevertheless, when you are using Trello, nobody needs to explain you nothing far away from 15 minutes. You jump into Trello, and in 30 minutes maximum, you know exactly how it works, because it's super simple. And mm-hmm. We said, well, we can do it as simple as Trello, and being in Trello and being a reference worldwide in order to do that, to people that needs to start running a contact management app or tool in 1 minute and a half.
Yeah. How long did it take you guys to get it from? So you built out like the alpha version of the tool, and it sounded like it was more of like an internal tool at that point. You brought on your CTO, you built a team. From the time you kind of developed that team, how long did it take you guys to go from this like internal tool to something that was ready to like onboard the first person that you didn't know personally?
Well, now we should be already in this point, but it's funny. We started like the last August, more or less, to start, well, to see how we can land this. And
so
then
August 2019.
Exactly. And then we started talking about if that could be done, if the developers wanted to be involved, I mean, to create a technical team. So what happens, sorry, I'm going to turn out my notifications. Yeah, sorry. What happened is I say, well, in my business plan, what I want to do is being launched in March, but it's in a beta version. So we are going to use this beta version and maybe, I don't know, a couple of hundred or a couple of, I don't know, maybe thousands during the whole year. So we are going to test how the product works. And for 2021, we are going to have a more solid product that we can start doing business with it and see how the people is gonna react and get the feedback of the community. But I grow 1,000% of what I expected. So I think today we are close to 30,000 users.
Oh,
so
shit.
Now they are running. Yeah, and we launched it in March, as I say, the 5th of March, just pre-COVID. And then I'm supposed to be running a beta version, but now thousands of companies are using it. So I say, well,
they pulled it out of beta for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what happened. I am still keeping it for me in beta because I don't consider that the product is finished. I still having some bugs. We have to hotfix, let's say, and make the tool more solid. So this is why we are not charging the users. But it took that time. Yeah, they removed the beta label for me. Yeah,
that's all. So you've got, I mean, 8.5 months, you know, essentially since March at the point of us recording this, and you got 30,000 users. So I'm going to ask some selfish questions here because on the side right now we're developing a SaaS product. And so one of the areas, so I have a co-founder and he's more of the CTO, right? He's doing all the developing, all that kind of stuff. So most of the work is on him at this point as we kind of are in that alpha beta stage. So one of the things that I am tasked with is obviously when the product is ready, acquiring users. So I'm curious, and I'm, like I said, I'll ask some selfish questions here, which I think will also be interesting to the listeners. What did you do, like starting, were you doing something before March to generate some excitement or anything for the product? Or did it, like March came and then you're like, okay, here's the product, now let's start telling people about it as well?
Yeah, we did nothing before March, only setting up the Facebook page, Instagram page and all of this. We were not creating or investing in any kind of expectation. I will say, I think it looked like something that everybody says, but for me, or at least the key of our success is content, is give every time we are making a mailing, every time we are making a post, every time we are doing collaboration with Trello or with other partnerships we have, it's creating content that the user can identify themselves with what they need. Because if we explain in a perspective, for example, well, I'm partnership of Typeform, for example, we love it, and also Zapier. But if I make a post or I make a newsletter explaining the users, well, you can use Typeform like that. Here you can connect your Typeform and then you can make Crumble leads, and that could be super useful. They say, well, I don't have Typeforms. Well, it's not interesting for me. But if I say I have a language school and then I have, like we did, academy, language academy, and then you have, for example, alums or students And you have to track if they are interested in one language or other, or in what kind of lessons they want to get, if they are in a class or a private. And you make a history for them. They say, ah, I also have users, or I also have clients, or I also have leads. So maybe I can use Typeform, and maybe I can use Crumble. So then we are creating that kind of content. Yeah.
Got it. So that's the, what you described to me there is engaging with people that have signed up for Crumble at this point, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
That how are sure. you how are you engaging people that have not signed up for Crumble yet? How are you getting their attention?
Yeah, we are, for example, I think we are using pretty well our partnerships. Once you get a partnership, for example, with Zapier, you are in newsletter, so they are letting you know a lot of future users. We are also collaborating with different podcasters like we are doing today to let Crumble be known worldwide, let's say. And this is the channels we are using right now. We are not paying for platforms for saying, yeah, I want to take the client at paying for that or something like that. We are creating content by the moment.
That's awesome. Yeah. What has performed best for you? So you're doing partnerships, getting featured in their newsletters, you're getting on podcasts, you might be doing some stuff on social media, I'm not sure. Like, what do you think is working best for you to acquire new users of the platform?
From my perspective, the newsletter to the users we already have, because we have the tech, for example, that creating exciting content for them or improving the product. When we are for me, the most important is improving the product. When you are giving more features and you are sending new letters to them, they say, well, that's a new feature. I'm gonna try to see if I like it. And we realize that sometimes we don't have that many downloads, but our current users are adding more users to their board. So they are also Crumble users. So I think this is for us, which is performing the best and the cheapest as well. Mm.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So you've got this platform. It sounds like a big piece of that is like there's a big, not only word of mouth component, but there's all you have to do is convert one person on a 50 person team to get 50 new users, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty powerful in itself. It's a collaboration platform. So exactly. It's probably very rarely that you convert a user and you only get that user out of it. They're normally going to be bringing other people with them.
Actually, we are super, super surprised because we were thinking always, well, who is going to use IEC CRM, something that has no learning curve at all and could be used Trello for that instead of the big names or the most commonly names. Mm-hmm. We were thinking about freelancers. We were thinking about small companies, something like that. But it was almost the opposite. We saw companies which are in NASDAQ, companies which are in IBEX 35 here in Spain, in China Trading. They are using Crumble as a part of micromanagement as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a product with a wide range. Sometimes we saw users that are some inviting us to their boards to see what are they doing or they have some bugs. And we saw maybe there is only one or two in the team. But sometimes there is universities in the United States, for example, they are using it for educational. So there is 65 people in the board. So we are covering a really wide range because at the end of the day, it's not only a CRM contact. We are taking like the whole dimension of what means being related with somebody.
Yeah, interesting. So when you guys came up with this idea and you started moving forward, obviously you had to hire a team. Mm-hmm. You moved into this full-time. You've got a CTO. So there's obviously cost involved to this project that you're working on. And I looked all over your site for how I could give you money and I couldn't figure out a way to actually pay you money. And you told me that at this point you're not charging for the product. So what's the revenue model on this business? Because obviously, at some point, you're going to run out of money if you're like funding salaries and dev and all that kind of stuff, and you know, other infrastructure costs. So, how do you guys plan to turn this into a profitable business?
Yeah, with our pricing plan, obviously. Yeah. Now we have a plan on the table, which we are trying to finish. But I could say we are going to establish a new way of payment in terms of a CRM. There is no CRM charging how we are going to do next year. And then for the next year, the following year in 2022, we will establish some basic free, a freemium plan, a basic plan, and then another two more plans, which will go the free, obviously zero, and then the basic one from $1 up to the maximum one will be $15. That will be more related with roles, admins, and something more focused on a corporation or business. Yeah.
Gotcha. So right now, are you funding it out of your pocket? Is it bootstrapped?
Yeah, it's a bootstrap, yeah.
Nice.
Everything is bootstrap. Well, we have this company, it's coming from the previous one because it was in real estate. So I say, well, I have developed this product for this company, and I think we can make it explode and have hundreds of thousands of millions of users in 4 or 5 years. And they say, well, we also think so. So we put some goals, and as soon as I got 10, 15,000 users, they say, well, you are breaking all the limits we have. So here is I fundraise until 1 million this year. And now I'm lucky because we are talking with many venture capitals to try to go in a series during the next 6 months maximum. Yeah.
That's awesome. Congrats on that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So what would you tell somebody that is, so you had a little bit of a tech background. You were able to build at least an internal version of this and kind of bring the thought to life. What would you tell somebody that doesn't have a big tech background and is looking to bring an idea? They have an idea and they want to make it a reality. I was also somewhat fortunate where I had a pre-existing relationship with somebody that knew how to code, and I would just constantly pitch him ideas. I'm like, how's this one? And he would always shoot them down. It's a horrible idea because of this. It's a horrible idea because of that. And then finally I gave him one where he's like, oh, maybe this is a good idea. So like that covered me on like the software side of things. What advice would you give somebody that maybe isn't that fortunate to either have the skills or to know someone personally that has the skills, like, but they want to venture down this path?
Wow, that's a difficult situation when you have all that great ideas, but you don't know how to land it because it's. I think you need that perfect matching you are talking about. I mean, you have the idea and you can land it a bit, or you know how to explain it to a lander or to a developer, so they can say, he can say, well, that's not the way, or that's not possible. So you are not investing more time in something that makes no sense at all because it's not possible to do. So if you are not, you don't have that lack of having a developer close to you, or you don't have a minimum of background, technical background to do it, I would say, well, look for one because if you are not able to first. Being aware if the idea is it's possible and it can get a long way, and second, you have to know how much it costs to develop what you are looking for in order to start with your business plan, which is going to be the first step of what you have to do, I will say. So if you don't need a developer, you actually don't know a developer, I will say to the guy, yeah, you have to look for one. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I honestly think that's not as difficult as it might seem nowadays. If you're actively looking, if you're reaching out to your network, like, hey, do you know somebody that codes in X? I mean, there's a lot of people know different types of development nowadays. I mean, my wife's a Java developer. I mean, I knew a guy from my podcast that was a developer. So it was actually the episode 14 of this podcast is the guy that I ended up partnering with on this.
That's cool. Yeah.
So what we did, so to kind of go with your idea of like, you need to understand if it's actually a good idea. And that, what in my experience, like that can be really hard because if you come up with the idea, you always think it's amazing. Right. Because it's your idea, like you have this affinity towards it and it's hard to do like a reality check. So what we did, and I'm curious if you did anything as well. So our process that we did actually April of this year was, so first off, he made sure that he could build the product, like that he could infrastructure it in a way that we could economically make this an actual business, right? Because we're not trying to build a nonprofit. Like, we wanted to build a business.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We are not here for free. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we wanted to make sure that it was possible. He said, yep, this is possible. So the next thing we did was we actually created a very basic landing page. And we wanted to just validate the idea. So we were like, let's see how many people we can get to sign up for this idea. And we specifically did not start with our immediate network. We each put in $500 and we ran Facebook ads, different ad platforms, not just Facebook, but we ran different ads to this landing page to see if we could get people to sign up for just the idea, knowing that it doesn't exist yet. Would you sign up for this? And we got like 117 people to sign up. And we were like, oh, this is like, obviously people are interested in this as an idea, interested enough to one, click on it, and two, give us their name and their email address. So that's kind of how we went about it. Did you do anything early on to see if, like, to gauge the interest of the community?
Yes. Yes. Not with Crumble, but I was, when I started to build in my lab, which Crumble is today, I read a lot of blog posts of people asking for how you can turn your Trello into a CRM. And I was that you need a certain level of technical thing. And somebody that needs a CRM or a contact management tool, they normally have like a leader position in a company, or they are managers. So you can set up the system, but you cannot spend your time in being on top of that to see if it works, because you are building yourself. So I detect a gap there. And that was for me what makes click in my head. And I say, well, I think there is people waiting for that. But I didn't try nothing myself before. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. So you in some ways you did a similar thing, just in a different way, right? You went out there and you said, people are looking for this because they're literally asking for it out here. Yeah, and there's probably people replying to those posts and things saying, you can do it, but you got to do X and Y and connect this to that and this to that. And it becomes this complicated mess. So your was like, that validated your simple solution. Yeah.
I saw some blog posts from Trello and they have almost like 100,000 views. And I say, well, there is people looking for that years ago, and videos in YouTube and all the stuff. And I say, well, I want to be the first.
And so in regards to Trello itself, do you build the product on top of Trello? Like, why did you choose Trello, or how did you even come to know that you could build applications on top of Trello?
I was looking for creating mine, and then I saw, well, you can be a Power App builder, and I say, that's pretty cool. Let's see the playbook. And then I started to playing with the playbook to see how to do it. And I remember to being sweet and like, wow, that's amazing. I'm creating something that, it could be maybe on top of Trello. And
is there like an application process or anything?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of. You have the tools for making the repositories, like in GitHub, and then you can start coding there. And you can build for your own, like a Power App that only works on your own panels, on your own boards. So when this is done, you can start applying for it's a long process to get the Trello approval, and they say, well, you are ready for go to our ecosystem. And now they are using the success of Crumble on the playbook to how to build a Power App, which is super. Awesome. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I imagine you probably are acquiring a good bit of users as well, just from being in the Trello marketplace.
Yes, of course. Yeah. When we are started in we are as one of the favorite ones in Trello marketplace. And when we are there, we saw that downloads are getting better, let's say. Yeah. So yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's awesome. So what's your immediate goal for the next, let's say, 6 months? Like, if we we connected again mid-2021, like where do you envision Crumble is?
In terms of numbers or?
Yeah, I like numbers. Let's say in terms of numbers.
Yeah, well, I'm going to finish this year with 30,000 users, I guess, because we were on top of 27,000 today. For the next year, we are going to establish a huge strategy that I expect to grow 8 times more than I did this year. So if we talk mid of next year, I should be on top of 100,000 users. Yeah,
that's awesome. What has to change in your business to support a company that has 100,000 users? Like, does your team grow? Does the structure within the business, meaning like the executive structure, have to change? Like, what all comes with a company growing in multiples like that?
For example, a developing team has to get bigger, because the more users you're having and the more features you are putting on top of your product, the more bugs and the more fixes you have to do. So I know this part of the team is going to grow, and it's on my forecast, let's say. Also, attending the support. For me, giving super quick support to my users, for me, is key. And I was handling myself until today, because I wanted to know, and I'm spending a big part of my day doing this sometimes when we are with new features, for example, because I want to understand exactly what the user thinks about Crumble and about the platform. And if they find it easy here or there, to being able to change the roadmap easily and say, well, they are asking too much for, I don't know, how to create a lead. So we need to make it easier on the wizard and the workflow. So we are creating, for example, now lead samples when you install Crumble, things like that. So the support, I know when we are getting 3-4 times bigger, I will need at least 1 or 2 persons more to attend also the United States time.
Yep.
Because I have to sleep sometimes as well. Yeah.
It has to be really exciting though, because I mean, I would have to imagine as soon as you turn on your pricing model, you have $1 million business.
Do you mean this is going to happen, or?
I would think so, right? You currently have 30,000 users. You're going to be growing quickly to 80,000 users, and right now it's all free. But you're like, the platform's awesome. I'm sure you're going to figure out some pricing structure that incentivizes people to convert to a paid plan.
Yeah.
I have to think that this is easily a 7-figure business right when you flip the switch.
I hope so. Yeah, I expect to finish the next year with on top of 200,000 users. Well, this is the goal we put, and then for the next year we need to jump over 500. And then in 2 years more over on top of 1 million users. I know with SaaS and productivity tools, the rate of conversion, it is what it is. You know, it's going to move somewhere between a 5% and a 15% if you are an absolute unicorn. So, yeah, this is why I want to make my mass of users bigger. So when we are starting to put the pricing plans, we can monetize later, but easier and faster. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that's exciting.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's awesome to hear. It's awesome to hear how you took this idea that was, you know, solving your own problem, right? An internal tool for a real estate business that was, you know, maybe at the time you never thought would see the light of day to anyone outside of that company. And now you're serving, you know, 30,000 users and growing rapidly. So that's awesome to hear, Tony. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing about your journey of building this tool and kind of how you did it and where it's heading. So a lot of my listeners right now are going to be people that, you know, are still working their day job and they are building a business on the side. They are making some money. They probably have a small team. Is there any specific like niches or industries that you find align very well with Crumble? Like, if you have a business like X or Y, you might want to give Crumble a try.
Yeah, if you have a business where you have any kind of contact with a person, Crumble could be your option. Yeah, if you have a hiring and recruiting team, you can use Crumble. If you have an educational team, you can use Crumble. If you want to track logistics, you can use Crumble. If you have a real estate or you have whatever the company services you are giving, you can use Crumble. If you have, for example, a SaaS, and then you have to manage the ticketing support, you can use Crumble. So yeah, I think we are covering a huge part of the business industry, I think. I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Sure. So where can people sign up for and learn more about Crumble?
Yeah, they can go to crumble.com, and we have there a button that says...
That's CRM without the U.
BLE. Yeah, exactly. That's it.
CRMBLE.
Exactly, Crumble. My wife chose the name, which is also in the project, and was an absolutely success because everybody loved it. And we are, it was because we are also, we are many things together, which is a crumble. So we create the monster and everything makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, what you were asking, in crumble.com, you can, we have a button that say, make click here and you can try out and you will go to a Trello template. Also, we have like 4 templates already in the gallery. In the templates, Crumble, it's already pre-installed. So just by copying the template, you have Crumble and you only have to authorize. And you can find also Crumble if you are a Trello user directly in the marketplace, PowerUp. We are there now in a started one, so one of the 9 favorites one from Trello. Yeah, that's the way.
That's awesome. So if you're interested in that, if you think it might be useful, or you just want to play around with it and check it out and see what it's all about, I'll put a link for that down into the show notes of the podcast as well. So you'll be able to check that out. And Tony, it's been awesome to chat with you. Thanks for coming on the Hustle to Freedom podcast. And hope you get some new users out of this interview.
Yeah, it was super funny. Yeah. And I hope to talk with you next year and see how the business is going, and also yours. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I actually did a follow-up series a few months back with some of my very early guests. So I'm sure I'll be doing another one in a year or so as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
We'll bring you on.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. So, cool. All right, Tony. Well, it's been fun chatting, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you so much. See you soon.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So, if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.